35 or 36 this week, and we're just going to bless her. So if you would just make your plans to be here, we're going to have some refreshments afterwards, and it'll be a really fun time. Also, kids, about that missions video. If you're having trouble with that, I'll do it with you. Don't overwhelm me by your response here. Because I think she's only got a couple in right now. There's no catch to this. It's a $500 scholarship. If you're between 14 and, is it 25, Aaron? 14 and 25. Did I hear somebody say 55? No. 14 and 25. We want to help you to do that. We'll come alongside you. So we're going to extend it until Thursday. But I want you to, if that's you, do it this week. If you need help, just call me. I'll help you do a video. Okay? Let me say one more thing about water baptism. If you've given your heart to Christ, you've never been baptized in water. I'm not talking sprinkling. Sprinkling is a great gesture, but it's not biblical. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, and I want to read a few verses. In verse 13, it says, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus came to John to be baptized. And John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, and I am well pleased. Jesus set the example himself by being water baptized. You're wondering, well, who can be? One of the prerequisites is that Christ needs to be a part of your life. You have to give your life to Christ. The Bible says in Acts 2 and 28, Peter said to them, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Repentance means turning from one action, one life to another. Does that mean you're going to be perfect when it happens? Absolutely not. But it's an outward expression of what God has done inside of you. Acts 8:12 said, when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Didn't mean that they were everything that they were going to be, but they believed in Jesus. Do I have any Jesus believers in the house today? And what takes place in Romans chapter 6, he says, don't you know that as many that were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? This is an important thought to really know that, because when you are baptized in water, you are baptized and you identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Old is gone, dead and buried, and behold, all things become brand new again. This is a significant moment for you. And you might be wondering, well, I've got so many questions. Perfect, because the Thursday night before the 24th, which will be Thursday night the 21st, we're going to dedicate to sharing a little bit more about what the Bible says about it and telling you how you go about it. You don't have to be afraid. It doesn't matter who you are, your physical condition, we can help you. There's enough men here, we'll help you. I remember Joni when Jim, paralyzed, neck down. All the guys got together, we lifted them up, put him in that baptismal tank and lifted them out. Come on, what's your excuse today? You can do this. And if you do it, God will follow you with a great blessing in your life. We'll tell you how. Listen, nobody has ever been left in the tank. They all come up out of the water. Nobody gets held down more than they want to. Well, maybe it's happened a time or two. No, I'm just joking. But God will use that to really impact your life. So there's a sign-up sheet in the table in the back. Right now, there's 27 names on that sheet. And I just feel in my heart that at least there's over 40 total that need to experience this. So don't be afraid. And don't say, well, you know what, I'll just wait until next time. This is an opportunity for you to obey God. And we're making it easy for you. Put it right in front of you, okay? The tank will be set right up here in 2 weeks. We'll do it right in the second service. It's a time for you to invite friends and family. Let them see what God is doing in your life. You don't have to preach. You don't have to say a thing. but by you demonstrating, I love God, I've given my life to him, now I'm going through the waters of baptism to let the world know that I am his and he is mine. Amen. I feel like baptizing somebody right now. I don't know what it is coming on me right now. Father, thank you for the next few moments to use every word that is spoken to advance and be a blessing to the people of God today and to your word and to your will. May you be honored today. Everything we do and everything we say, we give the glory to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bible and you want to look at one scripture verse, I've read it before. I'm going to quote it from the Message Bible out of Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to talk about the subject of being changed, because when we are born again, there's a process that begins in our lives to create and to move us into the dimension that he is changing us to be. Just like you heard Brad say in the testimony, if you were here Thursday night, Pauly Lemondola had a great testimony. But one of the things that he changes in you and he works in you is the ability to help you to dream, cause your heart to beat again. You may be here today. Maybe your life has just stopped growing. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you had a dream and it didn't come to pass and you got derailed. I want you to know life is not over for you. Proverbs 29:18 out of the Message, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. God, when we become born again, he deposits something in our lives, the ability to dream and to feel a sense of what he has for us and what our life and what our future is really all about. And I'm not necessarily speaking about dreams that you have when you're sleeping, but it could be sometimes. God does speak to you in that season. Make sure that it's God and not something that you ate the night before, though. When you follow God, he begins to take you on this pursuit of your dream. You know, I said about Pauly on Thursday night, how God would take somebody just 4 or 5 years ago that was bound up with drugs and alcohol and now give them an opportunity to share the gospel all over the world, in Nepal and Ireland and in Egypt, and how he's taken a young man like Brad. And I was there. I had lunch with Brad this week and we were talking. He said to me, he said, you know, one of the first times you really challenged me, I went outside and I cried after that. And I said, well, what did I say to you? And he says, I don't remember, but I remember I cried after it. I said, well, those are tears of good. That was God changing and working in your heart. Because when we have a dream, there's some thoughts that we have to connect to it. It has, if it's from God, it has to line up with the word of God. It also has to be more about what God wants and not as much about what you want. And it also, when we have a dream and we have a desire and a hope in our lives, we need to allow other people to speak into that and over our lives. We need to let others have influence in that. And God has put people in your life to speak into you, to cover, to protect you, and to correct you if you're wrong. I knew you'd be excited about that. And it doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 60, we all need that in our lives. Somebody asked me just this week, did you talk to your pastor about that project? Are you kidding me? I talk to him about every project in my life because I want that voice in my life. I enjoy that. The older I get, the more I want. And then I sit with a man like Tommy Reed, who is 83 years old, and he'll tell me something that God is working in his heart. He said, I've never dreamed as much as I am now. And then he'll stop and he'll say, Marty, what do you think of that? And I'm thinking, who am I to say anything to somebody like him? But it reaffirms the fact that the person that speaks over or into your life doesn't necessarily have to be older than you. You can receive many things from people who are much younger than you are. Amen. And this is what helps us, and this is what brings a change into our lives. And no matter, even if you're facing a challenge today, God may have you on a pathway to allow that dream to come to pass. 1 Corinthians 10:13, even if it's a temptation, he said no temptation in your life is no different from what other experience. And God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted more than you could stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. Because I know for some, you're on that pathway and you run up against some things. And you wonder, why is this happening to me? And the great thing as well is it doesn't matter where you start. You could start off in the deepest and the darkest of holes in your life. Even if your life didn't start out good, God can take you. Because when you start on the journey of walking and living for Him, you find out what you are created to do. Because for every one of you, you have an individual thumbprint, a fingerprint that is only yours. It's no one else. And it's the same way for the dream, for the calling, for the gifting He's put on your life. You can do something that no one else can do. No matter where you came from. But Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that He considered me faithful, appointing me to His service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. This is Paul speaking about his own life, how God used him no matter where he started from. And even if you begin and life takes you in another direction, you don't understand what's going on. Even if we run up against something, a challenge or a difficulty in our lives. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Right in the middle of it, whatever you're going through, He is at work in your life and He is purposing a great change to be completed in our lives. And whether you're in chains or you're in paradise today, whether if everything is going perfect for you or nothing is going right for you, if you'll stick with God and the plan that He has for your life, He will take you through the most hardest, the most difficult, the most challenging moment in your life. And He will, as I said earlier, help to make your heart beat again. Oh, I love that. And even if it takes a long time to realize it. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it has seemed slow, do not despair, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. I couldn't help but think when I was reading the scripture today, it came to me that for some that maybe you're single and you've been waiting for the perfect man or the woman to come along. You say, well, why is it taking so long? You want to know what? For some of you, the preparation for the person that He has for you just takes longer than others. And that's a good thing. Amen. He will not delay. He will not be overdue a single day. And His purpose and plan will not be overdue in your life either. One single day. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Come on. Quit giving up. Quit throwing in the towel. Quit saying, I don't know how long I can do this. Yes, you can. You can go on. You can move forward. And what you and I have to learn is number one, we have to learn to place value on the journey that He's taking us in. This is so important. Learn to place value on your journey. Well, I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like where I'm at. But when something is happening to you, God wants to do something in you. Oh, come on, let that just seep down into you a little bit. When something is happening to you, God wants to do something in you. God, you say, what are you doing in me? He's working something great out in you. He's taking you from where you were, and He's building you into something beautiful. The Lord is not always concerned either about our comfort as He is our development. God's not just, you didn't get saved just so He could make everything easy and better for you. In fact, if I had a nickel for every time I heard somebody say, well, before I gave my life to Christ, I didn't have any of these problems. Well, of course not. You were right in the devil's hand. He was doing whatever he wanted with you. Now, God has saved you and brought you out of darkness and planted you into His light. And the fiery darts of the enemy are trying to take you out to lure you back into a lifestyle that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Come on, rejoice. Be happy that God is working in you. 1 Peter 1:6 says, be glad, there is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine and is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. though your faith is even more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You're going to go through some challenges, but he's just going to use those to make you better, because every storm you and I go through is a school for our lives. James 1, 2, and 3, this is everybody's favorite verse. I had some guy tell me years ago, I never read that part of James. Why? I don't want anything to do with that. If you say those words, then you're going to be tested by it. I go, it's in the Bible. But you want to stay away from that. Well, we're walking into it. James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it joy, brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. And everyone said, ooh. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops muscle. Come on today. If all you do is sit in your little soft chair all the time and you never get stretched, you're going to turn into a soft chair. God wants to move you from where you're at and allow you to experience the power even in the midst of your trial. Hallelujah. And it makes you complete. And the scripture says it causes you to want for nothing when you go through that. I'm not speaking that over anybody. Nobody likes it. But on the other side of it, we come out stronger. I don't even, people say to me, I've had them talk to me, I love going to the gym. I love that. My trainer was in the first service. He's gone, so I can say this now. I don't like it. Who wants to get up at 5 in the morning and drink what you're supposed to and eat something and then go in there? And it was funny. I was in there with Ryan the other day, and one of the little warm-ups, they're doing it's called a crab walk, where you're on your hands and your feet and you're walking across the gym, and Ryan's there. Look at what I'm doing this at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm rolling around on the floor. And it's funny, but it builds your muscle. Nobody likes it, but it makes you better. Amen. I'm going to move right on by that, because I know I'm not getting shouted down in that. Number two, stop letting offenses stop you. You will be offended. You will be hurt. Somebody will say something to you. Somebody won't say something to you. People get mad at me because I don't say so. And I don't even know it. And they get offended. I've got to think about, I want to get offended by something. No, I don't. I'm just joking. You can't let offenses stop you, because if you do, it'll hinder who you become. And you have to learn to forgive every day, because resentment building up in your heart and in your life will stop you dead in your life. And it won't only affect you. Listen to me, Dad, it'll affect your whole family. If the dad is full of unforgiveness and just mad at everybody, you come in and you set your whole family in that course. You want to let it go. Moms, same for you. I'm not going to let you off the hook. Get off that being offended. You'll be offended. Let it go. Let it go. Joseph got hurt. He had a dream. He come running to his brothers. Look what God showed me. And he begins to share his dream. They got all upset, mad, and they sold him. And they actually wanted him dead. And they got rid of him, only to show up years later, 20 years later, after he'd been in jail, prison, after he'd been lied upon, cheated upon. And in the middle of all that, God was working out something great in his life, until the day when there's a famine in the land. And he's the number two guy in the land, maybe in all the world at that time. And guess who comes for help? The very ones that tried to hurt him. And there's something in me. I just love it when that happens. And they come to him, and they don't know who he is. And then he acknowledges to them who he is. And the Bible says that at that moment, he could have had their heads lopped off. He could have had them killed, put away. But he did not. And the Bible says in Genesis 50 and verse 20, he says, you intended to harm me. You did. You wanted to hurt me. But God intended it for good. You see, if you look at it that way, and I'm not saying just go around and let people hurt you, because God will make something good out of it. I'm telling you today, you can be in the middle of hurt. Somebody can hurt you. The enemy could have been behind it. But if God is for you, who can be against you? No weapon from hell can stop you and I today. Even when people try to stop you, even when the enemy tears at you and tries to pull you down and tries to put you out, God is inside of you. It's the name of Jesus. Kings and kingdoms will all disappear because there's something about the power of that name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. And if he's living inside of you, I don't care what devil comes against you, he will leap from you in a dimension of many ways. He will not have an effect on you. Come on, give God a good praise on that today. We will not let the enemy come and take our lives. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Quit blaming all the people in your life. But it's against rulers and authorities, against the powers of the dark world, against spiritual forces of the evil in heavenly realms. There is a demonic world that wants to snuff you out and take you down. But greater is he that's living inside of you than any demon's power in hell today. You can take it to the bank. And the last point, I'm going to close on this. Listen to this. He will never leave you. Never. You can run, but you can't hide. I don't care where you go. You can be doing all your stuff. I don't care. You can be in the crack house. And the person next to you doing the same thing, look over at you cross-eyed and say, you think God is here? You know he's there. You can hide. You can run. You can go wherever you want. He is there. The Bible says in Psalm 139, if I go to the heavens, God, you're there, of course. And then he said, if I make my bed in the depths, in King James, it said, if I go into the depths, if I make my bed in hell, if I'm doing what nobody else thought I could ever do, if I'm doing what I said I'd never do, he's there. You can't get away from him. I've met people that have given their heart to the Lord 20 years ago and then they walked away from God. And for 20 years, they've let sin rack their body. They put stuff in them, inside of themselves. They've drank it. They shot it. They smoked it. They snorted it. And their lives are falling apart. Do you think God left them at one moment in that time? He was there. He was drawing them. And 20 years later, the power of his Holy Spirit draws you back into his fold. He loves you. So if I go to hell, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you're there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, your hand is there. Your right hand will hold me fast. You're always there. I can't shake you. I try to get rid of you. You're always there, Lord. I tried to go. I went when I was a kid. I got saved and I went to Florida with some buddies of mine. Oh, we were going to get the hookups. Can I just talk real with you? And I'll never forget. We met these girls. We're sitting in the hotel lobby and these girls walk in and we're saying, oh, she's fine. Yeah, that's what. And all of a sudden we find out we have dinner with them and they all teach Sunday school class. Dear Jesus, you can run. But you can't. Come on today. Psalm 46:1, he's a very present help, even in your trouble. Isaiah 43:2, he says, if you pass through deep waters, I'll be with you. Do not be afraid in verse 5. He said, I'll be with you. Jeremiah 1:8 says, don't be afraid of them. I am with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Verse 19, he says, I'll fight for you. It will not overcome you. I am with you. Come on, say it. He's with me. Come on, say that. He's with me. And the last thing he's telling his church and to you and I today in Matthew 28 verse 20, he says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even until the ends of the earth. Come on. I said he's with you. Come on today. You need to. I said he's with you. You can't run. You can't hide. Come on, clap your hands, all your people. This is a moment for you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up on your feet just a moment. Ryan, come on up here. We're going to close out. We're going to sing this song today. But I'm going to do something. Just close your eyes just for a moment. I want to pray. Because I believe that some are here today. You've never given your life to Christ. And maybe you did. But maybe you've walked away from him. Maybe you had an experience when you were just a little boy or a little girl. You went to church somewhere, somebody talked to you about Jesus, you gave your heart to him, and for whatever reason, that seed was never watered to where it was. Now you're here. Maybe for some of you, you've never given your heart to Christ. And even in the moment that we're standing in right now, his Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. Saying, I want your life. I want to help you. I want to be a part of you. Because when he comes in, he never goes. Then maybe there's some here today. You've just started out on this journey to know him. You've run up against some of these obstacles. You've had some of this pain come into your life. He wants to help you today. I don't want anybody leaving just for a moment because I'm going to do something. I haven't done this for a few weeks. I do it in my head every day. I'm going to open up the altar. I'm going to do something. We're going to ask the Lord today to do something in a mold. There's not going to be four or five coming down. There's going to be dozens that are going to come to this altar today. You're going to give your heart to Christ. Even while I'm speaking, you know what you need to do. I want you to get out of your seat and come down. You need to give your heart to Christ today. Some of you need to rededicate your life to him. Say, he's going to be first in my life. Don't wait, come. Some of you're dealing with some challenges. When I talk to you about you're in places and you're wondering if God is there, and you know he was there, you could feel him. Today, he's working out a new dream in your life. He's going to take you to a deeper level. He's going to take you down a pathway in your life that will bring honor and glory to him. And not only in your life, but in the next generation. Come now. Come quickly. Because many of you, there's some of you here, you've lost the joy of the Lord. He is not your strength anymore. You just are operating out of mechanical movements and nothing's really moving and nothing's really taking place. And God says, I feel it in all of my heart today. We're going to sing this as a closing benediction. And I just know that as we sing the song over you today, that things are going to be moving different. For some of you, you're new to the walk. You've just made a decision to make Christ the Lord of your life. And you're walking in fear. You failed a few times. You fell. And you think God's mad at you, and I'm here to refute that and tell you God's not mad at you. He loves you. His plan and his purpose is today to lead you farther than you ever thought you could go. One more call. Come out of your seat. Come down. We're going to sing this song. It's good, good Father. Ryan, sing it. Come. Come right now.